Thanks. Morning, everybody. As Phil said, David unfortunately can't be here this morning. By his own admission, he has come down with man flu. And as a consultant medic of 20 years standing, I'm not going to argue with his diagnosis, so you've got me. My name is James Boyes. As Phil said, I am the Quality Improvement Programme Lead for the North West Coast Strategic Clinical Network, and I cover maternity and perinatal mental health. So what I'm going to talk to you about this morning is the Maternal and Neonatal Health Safety Collaborative, and hopefully show you how that fits into an already somewhat crowded landscape when we're looking at safety and maternal safety. There is a key document, a key piece of work, the Better Births Report, which was published last year, that introduces a series of obligations. It makes a number of recommendations, but it introduces obligations for maternity providers to very fundamentally change the way in which maternity services are configured and the way in which they are provided. And for those of you that want to work with maternity providers that want to get into health and quality improvement, I'd recommend you download and have a read of this report, because it really is the guiding light at the moment. And fundamentally, what Better Birth says, and it covers an awful lot of ground, but essentially it says that we need to do three things with our maternity provision. We need to improve choice that's available to women, we need to personalise the care that they receive, and we need to improve safety. And the first two of those, choice and personalisation, what Better Birth found is that when we look at the range of choice, this is relates to place of birth, most women in England, certainly in the Northwest Coast, they do not have a range of choice available to them. Most providers don't offer these four choice of birth places that should be available. And perhaps as a consequence of that, Better Births found that when women were asked what they wanted, about a quarter of them said that they wanted to give birth in an obstetric unit, so a labour ward in a hospital. In reality, about 90% of births take place in an obstetric unit. So not only do women not have a range of choices available to them, they're not really able to exercise what little choice they do have. And again, what we find is that when we look at countries that have a better safety record than England, than our health service, when women are able to make an informed choice, when they become an active participant in their care, in their birth plans, rather than a passive recipient of something that a system determines for them, safety improves. So clearly we have a strong drive to try and widen choice, to try and alter the way in which service is delivered at a very fundamental level. And when we start to look at safety, Better Births concluded that in general, giving birth in England is, relatively speaking, a fairly safe undertaking, relatively speaking. If we look at stillbirth globally, stillbirth rate averages around about 18 stillbirths for every 1,000 live births. And in some parts of the world, it's markedly worse than that. If we look at sub-Saharan Africa, if we look at Asia, we look at Pakistan, we look at India, they have rates in the 40s. In the UK at the moment, it's around about 4.2 stillbirths for every 1,000 births. So you look at those figures and you think, actually, you know, it's a relatively safe system. But when we look at our performance relative to developed nations, it's not quite such a rosy picture. Tommy's a stillbirth charity. They did some work last year, and they concluded, or they found that the UK ranks, or England, I should say, ranks 24th out of 49 high-income nations. And when we look at Europe, Croatia, Poland, the Czech Republic, they all have better stillbirth rates than England. And they are not, at least to my way of thinking, they're not countries that would immediately spring to mind if I had to envisage safe and high-quality national health systems. So clearly there is a drive to improve safety, as well as widening choice, as well as personalising care for the woman. So when we look at how that's currently evidenced, in addition to Better Births, we have a whole range of initiatives, of work that's currently underway, and these go back a number of years. These are the key ones. There are other, obviously, trust-led initiatives. There are other regional initiatives. These are all national programmes that look specifically at safety, at maternal safety, and changes to the way in which services are delivered. And fundamental to all of these is this need to recognise a systems approach to improvement. So we're starting to move away from a focus upon individual providers and individual units to much more collaborative working, and clearly that's where the maternal and neonatal health safety collaborative comes in. This is on the back of the Safer Maternity Care programme that was announced by the Department of Health last year. In terms of how that's evidenced in the Northwest Coast, again, unfortunately, the landscape is somewhat complicated. We already have a strategic clinical network. I'm one of the programme managers. I have a counterpart, Julia Charnock. She works predominantly in Lancashire and South Cumbria, whereas I concentrate on Cheshire and Merseyside. So we already have a network up and running. But equally, we also have two sustainability and transformation partnerships within our region. We also have two what are called local maternity systems, which are broadly speaking coterminous, but not exactly mirroring the STP footprints. And these were created through the Better Births Report as the vehicle by which all of these changes to maternity services are going to be delivered. We have 13 providers. 9 in Cheshire and Merseyside, 4 in Lancashire and South Cumbria. We also have a community provider. We also have a private provider. We have a range of other improvement initiatives underway. So we've got we have a maternity and paediatric vanguard. We have an early adopter programme, a pioneer programme. There's lots of work already underway. So that makes it somewhat complicated, because generally the more of these things that you have on the go, the harder it becomes to try and coordinate and collaborate. Yet at the same time, we actually have a fairly strong base to build from. We have already established a clinical experts group that covers the Northwest Coast. That involves bringing obstetric leads, midwifery leads, medical directors together to look at system level improvement, at reducing variation in order to improve outcomes. And we also have a number of special interest groups that we have already established that look specifically at things like stillbirth reduction, at safety in general within maternity. And we're going to use those special interest groups and that clinical experts group to form the communities of practice that the collaborative now calls for. So we're building on a strong base. There are a lot of initiatives underway. It can be quite a challenge to understand the detail of them all, but essentially you can draw from them some key themes, because whilst they've all been issued at slightly different points, some are from the Royal Colleges, some are from the Department of Health, some are NHS England, some are locally driven. Essentially, you see key themes that run through them all. As we've already heard, there is a need to recognise that this is a cultural change, that we need to develop a workforce, that we need to work collaboratively, that it's not about just reducing variation in a single provider, but it's about doing that consistently over an entire geography and an entire sector. Likewise, we're now understanding the value, the need for evidence-based improvement. So there's a huge interest in dashboards, in data to guide what we do so that we can improve and change in a controlled and structured manner. And at the actual project level, we have work underway already around things like fetal monitoring in labour, raising awareness of reduced fetal movements, improving the detection and the care of small for gestational age babies, looking to understand safety cultures within maternity units and how that impacts on the way in which guidelines are developed. So we have lots of work already underway. And again, that's being, drawn into this collaborative and into the communities of practice so that we can do that across an entire region. So in terms of how the collaborative itself is structured, there are two aspects to it. There is a national aspect where trusts are required to nominate safety champions. They're required to make this a board level issue. They're required to train champions within their organisations in formal quality improvement methodologies and techniques, and that they then cascade that out within their organisations, which is fantastic, because it gives the clinicians the methodology, the tools to deliver sustainable change. And we then have, run alongside that, our communities of practice. And this is where agencies such as the Innovation Agency, ourselves, NHS improvement. We bring trusts together to work in partnership so that we can share good practice, so that we can adopt that systems level and that systems approach to quality improvement. So to give you an example of how that's actually working in practice, and hopefully to show some of the complexities that we're dealing with. Again, one of the common themes to the various programmes that we've already seen is a desire and need to reduce stillbirth. As we've already said, you know, in comparison to other developed nations, England does not have a fantastic record. And so there has been a drive over a number of years to reduce this. And you can see, for those of you that work within quality improvement, you can see, you know, that this is the sort of graph that you want to see. There's a reasonable amount of variation there, but ultimately it's heading in the right direction. And again, what's I think what gives us a lot of confidence is that this extra line, which points with, so this one here, that relates to the Northwest, and that's as a direct result of a more local project. It was called Sabine, Saving Babies in the North of England. It started a couple of years ago. It ran for a year, and it piloted a national Saving Babies Lives care bundle. And on the back of that work, we delivered a significant decrease in the stillbirth rate. So we know that this approach works. But now we start to see some of the complications, because it isn't that we can ring-fence this as an area and manage it as a standalone project. So we know, for example, that smoking during pregnancy is one of the key drivers and contributory factors towards stillbirth. It accounts for, it's estimated for about 14% of, or at least in 14% of stillbirth, smoking is recognised as a contributory factor. So we have corresponding programmes of work that look to try and reduce smoking during pregnancy. This is a Cheshire and Merseyside graph. It's what I had to hand. The situation in Lancashire and South Cumbria is not markedly different. And this looks at smoking at time of delivery. And again, you can see all the way back to 2010, 2011, we've had individual providers, individual trusts that have been working to try and reduce this rate. And again, you see a fantastic improvement. We see it heading in the right direction. Rates are getting lower as education is out there, as we're working with women and families. But there are some issues with this. The first is that the relative position of the providers hasn't changed in 6 or 7 years. So within Cheshire and Merseyside, Halton and Knowsley are still the worst. Parts of Cheshire are still the best. We're also, across the northwest coast, we are a national outlier. Typically about 10% of women smoke during their pregnancy. Pretty much all of our localities across the northwest coast, that rate is not only higher, it's actually significantly higher. And yes, so I appreciate that when you look at an average, guess what, about half the results will be above that average. We are a fair way away from the mean. We are definitely a statistical outlier. So the challenge now with our collaborative, with our communities of practice, is to try and understand why those patterns exist and how we can start to tackle them. And again, this is where we start to see the complexities with what we're trying to deliver, because this, no pun intended, you know, smoking doesn't happen in a vacuum. Social deprivation, population health, population characteristics, all impact on what we're trying to achieve. And so we cannot look at our collaborative as being focused purely around maternity units. We have to include other agencies, we have to work with local authorities, we have to work with public health, we have to work with other disciplines within the health service itself. Likewise, we can also find that unfortunately, with the best of intentions, when we set national targets for things, it can actually have a counterproductive result. Blackpool, we think perhaps the Cheshire and Merseyside are bad. Blackpool, at the moment, 25% of women smoke at the time of delivery. I don't think literally at the time of delivery, but it's still quite a figure. Now, when you look at that, you think, you know, my life, that's terrible. A couple of years ago, it was 30-odd%. So Blackpool have made huge strides against a very challenging climate to get down to 25%. But a target was announced nationally. A national target's now been set over the summer at 6%. Now, with the best will in the world, if you're at Blackpool and you've been working hard on this for the past 10 years and you're delivering 25%, a 6% target, you've got to question that. Equally, we have parts of Cheshire where we're currently running at 4%. Hence, the discussion is, should we give cigarettes out to hit the national target? Clearly, these are complicated issues. there is an awful lot of focus around safety, for good reason, and there are an awful lot of programmes that are already up and running. It's a complex landscape. However, where we now find ourselves with the focus upon a formal collaborative approach, our communities of practice, we have things like our experts group and our special interest groups to build upon, and we're going to use those as the vehicle through which we harness the various work that's underway so that we can make sure that we make the best use of the resources that are available to us. Thank you.